Imagine. I can imagine. And I'm jealous of you because you had it and I didn't have it.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Sorry.
Next time we'll both go together.
could you get ready? Next time we'll both go together, then you also you take charge, yes. And then anybody else.
Yes. We thank God last week for greater works.
Yes, yes, yes.
Which was a great blessing.
It was.
Yes. God bless Dr. Mensah Tabil, ICGC, all pastors.
And the family, yeah.
Yes, and the family for being a blessing to us. Even though it's their program, we're all blessed by
everybody.
It.
Yes. I guess so. May the Lord. Hey, Clarissa, may the Lord bless you. Monica, may the Lord bless you. I believe that it's a new day, it's a new week, and the Lord has ordained a word in your mouth as usual to be a blessing to the people, all of us. So please, we are all ears.
Thank you.
Attentive and waiting on what the Lord has for us.
Thank you very much, Bishop Mike. And I'm bringing a word I've entitled, Where is God? Where is God? And the past week has been a very difficult and terrible week for the entire nation. We find very young, brilliant, excelling, who are in the prime of their lives, just losing their lives in an incident. These are national leaders, so the incident gains national prominence. But Bishop Mike, every day somebody goes through this. Every day an only child is lost. Every day a breadwinner goes out and never returns. Every day a mother leaves a young children. Yes. And they are daily events. Some way, somehow, somebody at this point in time is in such a situation. And when these arise, the question we ask ourselves is, where is God? Where is God in all of this? Yeah. And sometimes those who are mostly affected are very good people too. These are people who take care of others, who support others, who are loving, who are devoted to their families, devoted to their nation, devoted to what they do, excelling in it, helping others, paying school fees, doing so much for many people. And yet they are the ones who become the targets for such unfortunate incidents. And when these happen, we ask, where is God? Where is God? And if there is God, and God is, why does he allow these things to happen? And when they happen, you know, it affects the very foundation of our faith. We are not able to reconcile the God of the breakthrough to the God who allows this. Yes. Yes. So is God really the source of these events? That's the first thing we want to look at. And we look at the Bible. And I'll paint a small picture and then give a caveat. The foundation is that God is sovereign. He does what he likes at when he wants it, and how he would want it. And we cannot question him. The creature cannot question the creator why he would do what he does. Yes. So Isaiah 45 verse 7 says, I form 45:7. We see that both good and bad, God has a hand in it. Amos 3:6 also says, it's a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? These are very difficult scriptures. So here Amos is saying that if there is any calamity in the city, it is the Lord who has done it. Then Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37 to 38. It says, who has spoken and it came to pass? Unless the Lord has commanded it, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? We wouldn't want to end here so that we would conclude that God does evil, because there is no evil in God. James 1:13 says, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Then 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So God is not evil, and therefore he does not commit or nor does evil. Therefore, how do we then process this? That as Romans 8:28, God, who is omniscient, is working out something for our good. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Those who are called according to his purpose. If we read Job chapters 1 and 2, we also see that the conversation between God and the devil, that sometimes God gives permission for the devil to do certain things up to a point. And that also means that unless God gives permission, it doesn't happen. So God is at work at something, and that thing we are not too, we as humans, human as we are, we don't really know the end. But in this point in time, these become very, very difficult for us to interpret and process the experience and pain of loss. But if we look at first Hebrews chapter 11, 36 to 39. And Hebrews chapter 11, we talk about faith. Faith where the lion's mouth were shut, the dead were brought back to life, people who were old had children, great exploits. But from 36 to 39, we see that there were people who had faith and yet suffered. And this is what Hebrews 11, 36 to 39 says. It says, others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn into, they were killed with a sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They had faith, but they didn't receive what was promised, and they suffered for their faith. These same people, this same faith, others had lions, others went through fire, they were not consumed. Some escaped from the hands of destructions. Some escaped from prison. Yet some died in prison. So we see that their faith still, through even in their faith, they people suffered. And if we look at the book of Revelation now, we will look at the other side of eternity. The other side of eternity, because eternity, we are on this part, the present world where we are sitting now, we are on this side of eternity. But on the other side of eternity, in the presence of God, we see a little something a bit different, something a bit different. And the book of Revelations, which was written at a time of severe persecution of the church, the seven churches, those who died through persecution, they were called overcomers. They were rather called overcomers. So Revelations 12:11 says that, and they conquered, or they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. These are people who held on to their faith and will not compromise on their faith, will not leave their faith, even when there was sword at their throats, even when they were being put before wild animals to be eaten and killed, and meanwhile they were being roasted on sticks, they held on to their faith. And on the other side of eternity, in the presence of God, these were classified as overcomers. And so on this side of eternity, would have said they have died, they have suffered, their God didn't come through for them when they needed him. They didn't escape. I wish that when they were arrested and they were being taken into prison, heavens would have opened and angels would come out and kill all the oppositions and they would escape. But it didn't happen. And yet, God calls them overcomers. God calls them overcomers. And it is in that same light that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where we are crushed, but not, we are pressed on all sides, but not crushed, persecuted and not abandoned, and all of those words that tells us that there is nothing that can break us. But in 2 Corinthians 4:16-17 says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Then it says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The pain of today is preparing us for a glory tomorrow. The pain of today is preparing us for a glorious tomorrow, which is beyond comparison. So, yes, in this fallen world, evil will be here with us. In this fallen world, we would go through such situations. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for us. In eternity, it is victory for us. But whilst we are here, how the question we ask ourselves and how we respond to God in these situations is, how does God help us? For those of us who are left on this side of eternity, on this side of life, who still have faith in him, how do we respond to God? And I'll share three things. It says, the first one is that we should trust in God's abiding presence. Number two, that we should trust in his strength and sustenance. And number three, that we trust in his comfort. We trust in his comfort. So, God's abiding presence. So, in the midst of the pain, we trust God, that God is with us. God is with us. He's our Emmanuel. Psalm 34 verse 18 said, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So we have a brokenhearted and we have a crushed in spirit. And a brokenhearted is somebody whose inner being has been shattered. Whose inner being has been shattered. And a crushed spirit is somebody who is emotionally worn down. And anybody grieving would have these two experiences. Brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. And Bible says, the Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. What does it mean that God is near to the brokenhearted and to those who are crushed in spirit? It tells us that God is not distant. God is not distant. Not only is he not distant, but he is intimately close. He is intimately close to those who are brokenhearted and who are crushed in spirit. And he is acting as a rescuer and a comforter. A rescuer and a comforter. Showing or demonstrating his readiness to help, his intimate concern of what we are going through, and his accessibility to those who would call upon him, to those who call on him. So God's abiding presence is very, very important. We must be aware that God is with us. He is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." And in Matthew 28, verse 20, he ends by says that, "I will be with you always," not sometimes, "to the very end of the age." So even in the midst of our pain, God is with us. God is with us. And not only is he with us, he participates in our pain. Our pain becomes his pain. He himself bore our sorrows. He bore our sorrows. He bears with us in our pain. So that is the beginning for us to receive strength. You are not alone. Most of the time when we find ourselves in such situations, one of the things that we believe we are alone. We believe we are alone. We feel alone. And nobody, sometimes we even think that nobody understands what we are going through. But God is near. He is intimately close to you. Number two, that we trust God for his strength and sustenance in the midst of the pain. How are you going to go through the day? How are you going to go through the week? How are we going to go through the month? How are we going to go through the years without the person who has been a source of strength to us? And 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, we receive the assurance. God spoke to Paul and says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power or my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I'll encourage you, reach out and cry out to God. His strength is available. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31 also says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. said, even youths shall fail and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. At this point, you may be feeling like giving up, but the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. And so, how do we go through this pain? Trust the presence of God. Trust Him to give you strength and sustain you. The last one, trust God for comfort. And Bishop Mike just mentioned that in these times, there are no words enough to comfort. No, no. The pain is unique. The pain is personal. No amount of words would be able to relieve or even soothe the pain. The only person who can comfort truly is the God of all comforts. Psalm 119, verse 50 said, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Your promise gives me life. This is my comfort. He has promised He will never fail. His faithfulness is forevermore. Said verse 52, it says, when I think of your rules from old, I take comfort, O Lord. So take comfort from the word of God. The word of God never fails. Jeremiah 31, verse 13 said, then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I like that. Gladness for sorrow. In these times when you place your trust in God, He is able to sow a seed of joy and peace in your hearts. God gives joy and peace in our hearts. Not because the situation has changed, but because of His presence. And He Himself will comfort us. And 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5, the most popular of all, said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So there is a God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our afflictions. And that God is our comforter, and He comforts you. And so, let me conclude. God, who is our Emmanuel, is with us in the midst of our pain. God, who is our Emmanuel, is in the midst of our pain. He comforts, He sustains, and He restores. On this side of eternity, there is weeping, there is sorrow, there is confusion, there are questions that we will never have answers to. But on the other side of eternity, see what Revelation 21, 1-4 says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. And this is what I like the most. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. For the former things have passed away. And so there's a coming a time that all of this would be gone. But today, as we go through it, we are assured of God's presence. We are assured of God's strength and sustenance. And we are assured of God's comfort. This morning, I pray for everybody who is listening to me and who is going through this time of pain, of grieving, and of deep sorrow, not knowing what to do next. I pray that the presence of God be with you. May you hear Him speak comfort to your hearts. I pray that you would receive strength from the Holy Spirit, that in these times you would not walk through this fire alone, but He would walk with you. The fire will not consume you. And I pray that our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will give you comfort through all the pain, all the sorrow, all the weeping, that the Lord Himself would comfort you with the comfort that only He can give. May He be with you and strengthen you and go with you through this season. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
And amen. Thank you. Thank you very, 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 very much. You have no idea the hearts that you have touched by raising of what you have shared today.
Mm-hmm.